1:36 in the afternoon. Welcome back to the Team and Show, Monday edition. What's the date, Marco? Isn't that awful? I don't know what the date is.
The 15th.
Where's a paper? Where's the Gazette? August 15th.
You didn't believe me.
Isn't that amazing? I didn't know what the date was.
Gosh. Yeah, it's summertime. They all roll into
they
one
just
another.
One after the other. I just said I picked up the Gazette. Well, of course, on the phone from the Montreal Gazette, someone who has helped us out many times on this show before with his storytelling, and because he's all over the place and covers everything, and it's been around for a while. Dave Stubbs. Stubber, how are you?
Good, T. How are you today?
Good. Wrestled with guys, was a wrestling referee. Your story's from China. I love every minute of them. I called you this morning, and I was thinking, when I called you, I said, I believe that Dave Stubbs would have some great stories about Ted Teevan. I did not know that you opted for him at one time until we talked this morning.
I did.
What was that like?
The summer of 1975, I was working in the production department at CFOX, may it rest in peace, at the corner of Hymas and St. John's in Pointe Claire. I was putting the music that we had on vinyl onto cart, and now I'm dating myself, right? I mean, what do you guys use now, MP3? You've got to.
Oh, I have. No, you punch a screen with your finger, and it's a computer, and music comes up.
Yeah, well, we had vinyl, and we were starting to put it onto, they were sort of a modified 8-track tape, I guess, and they were very easy. You'd slam them into this machine and hit the start button, and it would play the song. And I spent one very fruitful or fruitless summer taking all the music that CFOX had of the day, and I think we were sort of between, we might have had two or three different formats that summer. That's how quickly CFOX changed. You never knew when you went in from day to day whether you were going to be a country station or a top 40. Listen, in my deepest,
Dave, it was on top of a tavern.
You're right, and I've got a story about that too, okay? I worked on Saturday nights, I spun a disco show when disco was king in Montreal and elsewhere called CFO Express, and they would bring these, I guess, extended play 12-inch albums in from New York, and my favorite story about all that is Donna Summer had a huge hit around that time called Love to Love You Baby, mm-hmm. And it sounded like, on the extended play, it sounded like, I'm guessing, a 14-minute orgasm, right? And Donna Summer's song starts, and I called the Hymas Tavern downstairs and said, look, I'm going to come downstairs and grab a club sandwich. I'll be right down. Let me just start this song. So I did. And Donna Summer started singing her Love to Love You Baby, and everything was going smoothly, and she's doing the I Love to Love You, and the song started to skip. And so Donna Summer did this Love to Love You, and it skipped for about 8 minutes while I went downstairs to the Hymas Tavern to get my club sandwich. And I came upstairs, and there was not one light on the telephone, and it occurred to me at that point in time, T, that no one, not even the crows on the wires outside, were listening to this stuff. So the next week, I was bringing in my own Led Zeppelin, and I was sort of segueing between Rock Your Boat by George McRae to A Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin, and
oh
then I'd go
goodness.
Into some other disco song, and then I'd go into some other thing, and so it was a great summer. Anyway, because I was in the production department doing all this stuff, and Dan McGarity, who everybody who has a bit of a history or remembers Ted from his days back in the 70s, McGarity was the producer of the show, and it was McGarity, get me a Dr. Pepper, McGarity, get more broads on the phone, McGarity, do this, McGarity, fetch me that. And a lot of people figured Dan McGarity didn't even exist. We talked a little off the air today that evidently he did.
Yes.
I had never met Dan McGarity, and then I guess Ted's hours were changed at CFOX, and I think he was going from 5 till 7 in the afternoon at CFOX, and they cut him back to maybe an hour. McGarity couldn't exist on whatever they were paying him. I'm sitting in the production department, and they said, Stubbs, you're going to produce Teevan. Well, what do I know about producing anything beyond putting, you know, Loretta Lynn songs on cart at this point, right? So they threw me into the deep end, and away I go. And, I mean, anybody who listened or got to know Ted, I mean, he was off the air. He was a pussycat. He was one of the kindest, gentlest souls you'd ever meet. But on the air, of course, he was the gruff, baritone, bellowing. And the great thing about Ted is that if he didn't know about something, he just got louder and more obnoxious about it. And that was all part of his shtick. And it was wonderful. People loved him. And that's why he had tremendous ratings. And that's why he was the go-to guy in talk radio. And I think Earl Zuckerman did a great job eulogizing Ted and his obit in the Gazette today, talking about, you know, how he followed in the footsteps or the microphone tracks of old Pat Burns, not the coach, but I mean, those people who've been around Montreal for a long time remembered Pat Burns and his open line shows. So,
and you know the amazing thing too, Dave, And I never realized that as much as maybe even just today. It didn't. He appealed to everybody. It didn't matter if you were 55 years old, if you were 85 years old, or if you were 15.
The game of life, right? That's
yes.
That's what Ted called his show. And you know, there would be many subjects that would come up that Ted clearly knew very little about, but that never slowed him down. He would just kind of deflect it into something that he did know something about, or he would throw it back into the listener's lap. And then when the listener started babbling, they'd get machine gun or they'd get blown up. I remember Ted's very famous machine gun when he did the You're Gone, and people would sit there and goad him. I mean, just they were praying they would get blown up. I mean, it became a bit of a badge of honor. You know, I got machine gunned by Ted Deven. Well, Ted, I guess, grew a little bit weary of always a machine gun and said, come up with something else. And so I found a nice recording of an atomic bomb and worked that into something. And there was an old Chicago album of the time back in the early 70s where there's a toilet flush at the end of it. And I said, this might be good. And Ted had no idea that was coming one show. And you'd sort of I kept looking through the glass waiting for him. And then he would sort of pantomime the machine gun, and you knew it was coming, and it would be get ready, and the hand was up, and then it was okay. He'd point the finger, and you'd machine gun the guy. Well, I dropped the atom bomb on him and then hit the toilet flush, and Ted's head just went down with a loud bang on the desk. He had no idea it was coming, and he totally dissolved. He lost it completely, and I think I went to about 6 consecutive minutes of commercials, and at CFOX at that time, that meant running the same 2 commercials, you know, 74 times in a row. But Ted never forgave me for it, but he absolutely loved it. And any time I saw him, Stubbs, I remember that toilet flush. So we had a great time. But, I mean, I think what surprised a lot of people is when they met Ted is he was this economical little package. But
yes.
he was all voice. I mean, his entire body was this booming baritone voice. And when you got to know him and when you spent some time with him, he was a very kind, gentle soul. I remember some of his advertisers, and we've all been telling stories the last couple of days. I remember Roxy Stereo up in St. Rose Laval.
Roxy's.
Was one of his. Yeah, remember Roxy?
Roxy's, that's right.
I bought my first stereo up there, and it was a horrible thing. But, I mean, this is an 18-year-old kid who drives up to Laval in his father's car and buys, I don't know, it was like a $150 stereo, and it was the greatest thing I'd ever owned. I mean, it was terrific. And in
It was like the Dorian suit where you could get a suit, a tie, and a shirt for the price of a shirt, a tie, and a suit.
Exactly. And some of these sponsors I could never figure. I mean, he had one for years. It was the Yazoo Pet Food Warehouse in the Valois Village in Pointe Claire. And I'm trying to think how that might have come to pass, how he wound up with Yazoo. But they were a longtime sponsor, and he had a taxi company toward the end, and I think they wound up being a bit of a chauffeur for him toward the end of his tenure with the team. And I remember the last time I sat down with Ted, we went out to some restaurant near the station on Green Avenue, and he was about to start his show, I guess, and he was talking to me about, you know, he was going to be taking his show onto the internet, and he didn't know too much about it. I think that Mitch Garber might have brokered the deal. It was some website somewhere, and he was going online, and he was crazy about the fact that he was going to be syndicated, and there could be people sitting in Belarus, future Andre Kostitsyn fans, listening to Ted Teven do his show. So it was great fun. And one other.
Now, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, did he prepare or did he wing it?
No, Ted winged a lot of what he did. The thing that was most fascinating was listening him go off and do his 2 or 3 minute spiels for his sponsors, and you would swear that he was reading from a script, but he literally had a small piece of paper in his pocket, and he would have scribbled a couple notes from having been up to Chinoy's restaurant visiting Mortha Sport and Nicholas the Great. Yeah, and he would just pull out this little piece of paper, and he would go off on something that you would swear was scripted, but it was totally, you know, off the top of his head. I don't know if many days Ted had any idea where he was going or what the show was going to be. He obviously had his talking points if the Expos were going great. I mean, it was a baseball show. But if there was a boxing card that was coming up, and it could be some totally vague, nonsensical boxing card in Bristol, Connecticut, that he might have seen somewhere, and he would be able to talk for 2 hours about it. So it was great. And I remember one night finally, Ted came out of the men's room at CFOX, and he said, what are all those record albums piled up in there? And I think this was, again, one of our format changes. And we must have had 500 country music records piled up in the men's room that I guess they were going to dispose of in some fashion. And we looked at each other and said, there has to be some way to dispose of these things in some memorable fashion. So we went out into the parking lot behind Seafox at Hymas and St. John's and soaked down probably 3 or 4 dozen of these things with lighter fluid and torched them and threw these flaming Frisbees across the parking lot until the police showed up because some woman nearby had called about these fiery UFOs that were...
Oh, the good old days, eh, Dave?
You know, and
you do that, now you're in jail for a month.
Well, good luck throwing a flaming MP3 across the parking lot, for one.
Well, there's that, too. Those square things, those little packages, they don't fly like old albums.
Yeah, so, I mean, I remember queuing records in master control at Seafox, and my dad, my late dad, was the news director there, and that's how I got my foot in the door in 75, and it was a very memorable summer. And then Seafox became CKO, and I was a weekend newscaster and spent a lot of time, just ripping and reading and reading the same newscast to the same 12 people who might be listening who stumbled upon us on the dial. And that was one of the curses of Seafox, that when you used to have a radio dial before you had preset buttons on your car radio or whatever, you actually had to dial your radio.
Yes.
And if you were up at the far end of the dial, it took a bit of work to get up there and find them. So that's why some of the stations that were in the middle of the dial, a Team 990 would do really well. You guys are sort of right in the middle, and people would be able to hit you. But now, of course, everything's digital, and it's a much different way. Yeah, exactly.
Dave, thanks so much for this. We could go on for hours. I mean, were you ever there when he came up with one of his lines again or one of his... Or did he have them all pretty well set by then? Because I just always remembered he always had, whether it was kind of like we're at a racetrack or something. It was amazing how he could come up with a line and it stuck.
I know. I was there for many of the shows when the band was marching and the expos were on their way, and you would sort of cue the band music, and then using the pots on the board in front of you, you would very slowly dial it up as though you were hearing the band coming. And you'd crank it up until the band was marching right past you, then you'd dial it back down. So, I mean, I learned a lot of these things. And he said, I want you to be able to do this. And he had no idea technically how it worked. And here's this 18-year-old, pimply-faced kid who was trying to figure out in the production room, I mean, how do I actually make this work? But we had a great deal of fun for that one summer. And, again, it was he was a blast. And Ted and I did stay in touch, not as much as I would have liked. But he always kind of joked whenever he'd call, he'd find some story that I had written that he liked, and he'd call me a wordsmith, and I'd joke and just sort of say, that just means I write long, right? And I think my sports editor, Stu Cowan, to this day feels the same way. Not that I'm a wordsmith, but that I indeed write long. So,
Dave, this is for you. Thanks, Dubber.
Beautiful. T, anytime at all.
I appreciate it. We didn't talk much about NASCAR, and I know that's coming to town. And how about maybe tomorrow or Wednesday?
Find me later on in the week. I'm sucking racing fuel exhaust as we speak. I'm enjoying life.
See you, Dave.
Take care, T.
All right, Dave Stubbs from the Montreal Gazette. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we have some more guests lined up to tell some terrific stories and hopefully entertain you about... unfortunately, the late, great Ted Thiemann. Thiemann Show on the Team 990. Stay with us. We'll be back.